Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Chaf Dalet. We're on your Gimel Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We are in the second parak of the Masechta. The first topic of the second parak has been Eishes Achav Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. It's going to make a very quick comeback in today's daf. But then after that, the Mishnah yesterday changed topics a little bit here in the second parak. And yesterday we discussed Suffolk. Man marries a woman, he doesn't know who he's married. I know that's a strange scenario. As we pointed out yesterday, how do we get here? So there are a couple of ways in which we can get here. Right now, the point is that we're here. So he's Mekadosh, one of two sisters. He doesn't know which one he was Mekadosh. So what does he do? No saying Get Lazeh. He's got to give a get to either one of them. And then the Mishnah went on to describe what happens now in the scenario where he was Mekadosh, one of two sisters, and he doesn't know which one he was Mekadosh. What happens if, let's say, for example, he dies and he's survived by brothers? What do you do under those circumstances? What if two people are Mekadosh, one of two sisters? Each one of them doesn't know which one they were Mekadosh, so each one of them now has got to give a get to both. What happens if they die and they're survived by each one of them one brother? What if they die and they're survived one of them by one brother and one of them by two brothers? What if they die and each one of them is survived by two brothers? Okay, so what do we do under those circumstances? So the Mishnah takes us through what to do under those circumstances. Fine. Admittedly, the Mishnah is a complex Mishnah in terms of a predicament, an unusual predicament and its solutions. Why is the Mishnah here? Why is he here in the second parak? I'm not sure. That part I'm not sure. Obviously, it has Yibam and Chalitza applications. Obviously, it touches on Achos de Kukaso. So, but why specifically here in the second parak? I'm not sure. There's a Mishnah coming up later on this morning, which I'm not really sure what it's doing here in the second parak of Yevamos, but nevertheless, we operated with that Mishnah yesterday. We learned the Mishnah yesterday, and we already went through the first sugya. The first sugya wanted to know what's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Meaning, once you know the principles that are involved, it's a little bit complicated, but we would figure it out. Meaning, once you have the rules that are involved. So the Gemara goes on to describe that the real chiddush of the Mishnah, while the Gemara thought yesterday that maybe the chiddush of the Mishnah is kedushin sheina mesur labia. Meaning, it's the kind of kedushin where you can't consummate that kedushin. In other words, you're mekadosh, one of two sisters. You don't know which one you were mekadosh. You cannot perform bia with either one of them because each one of them represents suffek. It's a possible eishes achoso. So each one of them represents eishes achoso. So what do you do? The Gemara wanted to suggest maybe that it is a textbook scenario of a Kedushin Sheinu Mesurin Labia, and yet the Mishnah says it is in fact a Kedushin. That's what the Gemara thought yesterday. The Gemara says not necessarily. When he was Mekadosh, he knew exactly who was Mekadosh, and afterwards they got mixed up. Admittedly, again, it's a hard case to even to visualize the picture, but nevertheless, that could be the case of the Mishnah, and so therefore the Kedushin was in fact Mesurin Labia. Okay. That's what we got to yesterday. We are now on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. We are four lines down, and we're going to continue. Shtaim Shekishu Shtei Achayo. So what the Gemara is now just simply doing is moving on to the next case of the Mishnah. Meaning we already handled the first case of the Mishnah where one was Mekadosh, one of two sisters. He didn't know which one he was Mekadosh. Now the Gemara over here is going on to the next case where two are Mekadosh, two sisters. One of them being Mekadosh, one of those two sisters. We just simply don't know which one each of were Mekadosh. So Shema Mina Kedushin, Shem Mesurin Labia, have a Kedushin. Once again, the Gemara says, let's conclude that each one of them was Mekadosh, a woman that they could not consummate the marriage with. And the Kedushin is valid. I know it's valid because a get is required from both of them. So Achinam, Keshukru, Levasof, Nitarvu. And the Gemara says, no, like we said yesterday, no, when they were Mekadosh originally, they knew where they were Mekadosh, and they got mixed up afterwards. So the Gemara says, Dekanami, Dektani, Vein Yodela, Velo Ketani, Vein Yadua. And the Gemara says, and it's clear that that's what the Mishnah means, because the Mishnah says, Eina Yodea, as opposed to Yadua, which means that right now they don't know. So Shema Mina, Umay, Kamash, Malan, Sefer, Tzrichlei. And again, so if you have now remove that as the Mishnah's main point. We lost a chiddush in the Mishnah. So every Mishnah, we say this all the time throughout Shas. Every Mishnah is there to teach us a chiddush. So if you're telling me that the Mishnah is not opining on kedushin shem mesur and labia, what is the Mishnah talking about? So the Gemara says, or what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? So meisel lazeh echav lazeh shnayim. So the chiddush would be the following. Let's say, again, two men were mekadesh, two sisters. They don't know which one they were mekadesh. These two men both died, survived by brothers. One had one surviving brother, the other two surviving brothers. So hayachid cholos l'shteim v'ashtayim echa cholos v'echa miyabeim. So as far as the one surviving brother, he must do chalitza to both of them. There is no alternative solution, as we already laid this out yesterday. The one brother survived by two surviving brothers. So now of those two surviving brothers, one could do chalitza and one could do yibum. And the point of our Mishnah is it has to be specifically in that order. First chalitza, then yibum. Shita, Hainu Reisha, the Gemara says, okay, but we already pointed that out in the first case of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, ma'ad detema ligzer treya tuchad, kamash malan. So the Gemara says, no, because I would have thought in this case over here that we should not allow the two surviving brothers, one to do chalitza, then to do yibum, because if we allow that, then in the case of one where this isn't an option, so maybe in a similar scenario, now that in of itself is a funny sentence, in a similar scenario. How many times is this coming up? But in a similar scenario, so the one might end up doing yibum, which is for one surviving brother, is simply not an option. And it has to be specifically where the one surviving brother has to do chalitza first, then to each of the sisters, and then the two surviving brothers of the other possible husband. Then you'll have one of them do chalitza and the other do yibum. Otherwise, you're pogei yivam l'shuk. And again, over here, it just gets complicated, but I'll just illustrate quickly. In other words, what happened is that you had two men being Mekadesh, two sisters. Each one of them does not know which one they were Mekadesh. So, and the two men die. And one is survived by one, and the other survived by two. Okay, so let's take it from the perspective of the one survived by one. Okay, so if he doesn't do chalitza to both of the women, so now these women each one of them have the possibility of being a yavama, okay, to that man. And so now, what do we know? We know that a yavama, once she is in that zika position, she can't marry any other man. So what he must do is he must do chalitza to both of them, releasing them, because one of them needs to be released, releasing them from that zika. Otherwise, they're called in halacha a yavama l'shuk. Then I go to the other side, I go to the perspective now of the two other brothers, the two surviving brothers of the other man who died. Now, one could do chalitza and the other could do yibum. The one who does chalitza, good. In other words, he may have done chalitza to the right woman. He may not have, doesn't matter. But in other words, but he may have done to the right woman. And then the other brother now has the option of doing yibum to the other woman. Why? Because again, what are the two possibilities? Either he did the mitzvah of Yibum, meaning that's one possibility, and the other possibility is that he didn't do Yibum, he's just simply marrying a woman. Is she Yavama L'shuk? No, because she was already released from every possibility, from the first surviving brother, and now from the other man, and the other surviving brother that represents his brother. Okay, sorry. As I pointed out, all this gets a little bit complicated. Let's move on in the Gemara. Lezeshtayim, lezeshtayim. Okay, so then the Mishnah said that in this constructed scenario where I have two men being married to two sisters, each one of them does know who he was married to. And then the two men before themselves giving the get, issuing the get, which is what they should have done, to each of the sisters. They both die. And they're both survived by two surviving brothers. So what do we do in that circumstance? So remember the Mishnah. The Mishnah said one will do chalitza to one, the other will chalitza to the other, and then that gives each one the opportunity to do yibum to the other sister. So hasav l'amali, the Gemara says that case is redundant. Again, it's funny. The case is redundant. It's a complicated case, but again, once we know the principles, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? So haynu achma detema ligzor dima miyabim below chalitza. So kamash malan. So the Gemara says, well, I might have thought that the gzeirah should be put into place in such a scenario over here, because it's very possible that since we're offering the opportunity for both of the men to do yibum, so I might have thought that they're going to do yibum before chalitza, and that's not the proper order of operations. Order of operations should be each one of them does chalitza to one, then each one of them does yibum to the other. Kamash malan. So Maishna mehadadnan, the Gemara says, okay. We have now outlined all the cases of the Mishnah, explained the need for all the cases of the Mishnah. So now the Gemara wants to know, how is our Mishnah different than a different Mishnah? Which Mishnah are we going to be describing over here? The Mishnah is coming up a couple days from now. So this Mishnah, Arba Achin Shnaim Shehem Nesu Mishnei Achayos, Umeisu, HaNesu Nesu Achayos. So this case we already discussed at length earlier in the Masechta, Daf Ches, Daf Tes. It's coming up, it's the first Mishnah of the third parak of the Masechta, coming up in a couple days from now. So we are already used to this case pretty, we've seen it enough times. We have four brothers. Of those four brothers, two of them are married to two sisters. Okay, everything perfectly acceptable right now. Meaning you can have brothers marrying sisters. That's perfectly fine. Then what happens is that the two of those brothers who are married to the two sisters, so they died. These two sisters now are Yivama candidates for the two surviving brothers. What do you do in that circumstance? So, so each one of them is going to be doing chalitza, and now yibum, we already explained why before, we're going to explain why later in the Masechta, so I'm not going to go through the trouble right now of explaining why, although, quite frankly, the Gemara is going to do it, so, okay, I'm sorry, we're going to have to do it. Anyway, and if you look at Rashi over here, chalitzos v'lo misyabos, Rashi, the five lines from the bottom of the Amud, v'katani seifa. Now, what we need to know, the Gemara doesn't quote it, but here's what we need to know, is the end of the Mishnah, which we're going to see later on. And the Mishnah concludes, Im kidmu v'kintzu yotziu, that what happens if they do marry, so the Chachamim will step in under those circumstances and say, you should not have married. And because you should not have married, so we are going to step in and we are going to separate the two of you, right? The two of you from the two of them, okay? That's the Mishnah later on, for reasons which we're going to articulate. Meanwhile, the Gemara wants to know, so what do we see? Our Mishnah here in the second parak of the Masechta talks about a marriage which was not appreciated by the Chachamim. The Chachamim did not sanction such a marriage. Meaning in our Mishnah with the two surviving brothers, what do we say? That each one for starters should do chalitza to one and then do yibum to the other. But first chalitza, then yibum. Then what did our Mishnah say? If they each do yibum first, okay. You didn't do it properly. You didn't follow proper order of operations. But in our Mishnah, the Mishnah said, okay, but they did it and that's fine. And meanwhile, the Mishnah there in the third parak of Yavamo says that of the two surviving brothers, now looking at their two Yavamas, they happen to be sisters under those circumstances. They need to do Chalitza. They cannot do Yibum. And if they do Yibum, the Chachamim do step in. So in our Mishnah, the Chachamim do not step in. The Mishnah there says the Chachamim do step in. So what's the difference between the cases? So the Gemara says their cases are not comparable, and I'll tell you why. How some? Because let's go to the Mishnah over there, meaning that Mishnah of four brothers, two sisters. So, and two of the brothers married two of the sisters, and the two brothers died. And those two sisters now are Yavamas to the two surviving brothers. There. Ilamandama Yezhika Yezhika. So the Gemara says, well, what is the basis of that Mishnah? As we learned already before, but now we're going to get to say again. And we're going to review it on Chavav. So it's good. We get to see this idea numerous times. So number one, first of all, Yeshika. Yeshika is the idea that once you are in a Yibam position, so there is a bond between you and the Yavama. The bond between you and the Yavama. How much of that is considered marriage already? We deliberated that point earlier. That is the basis of the deliberation later on in that Mishnah. So the Gemara says, let's say you subscribe to the position of Yeshika, which basically means that bond is considered like marriage. So then the Gemara says, so then I understand. Each one of them now is achozikukaso. In other words, a sister of someone you are quasi-married to. So then that is why you cannot marry each one of them. In our case here in our Mishnah, it's not so. Meaning because these two men who died are not brothers. So our Mishnah's case over here is not a case of Achuz Kukaso. So that already is one big distinction. And in the case over there, even if I don't subscribe to Yeshika, because again, as we pointed out, this is a point of dispute. In terms of course you are bonded to the Yavama, and she cannot marry another man, but again, how much is Zika like marriage? So if I hold like Yeshika, we just got done explaining, and if I hold Ein Zika, well, the Gemara says, even if I hold Ein Zika, still, remember, there is now Yibum and Chalitza that needs to be performed to each of them. Each of them was married. Each of them had a husband who died childless. You need to do Yibum to both of them. If one does Yibum to one of the surviving sisters, what may end up happening is that he may end up dying, and the other brother now will be unable to perform Yibum or Chalitza to the other ones. We're going to lose an opportunity to Yibum Chalitza. Now, as we already pointed out, and we're going to point out later on, that's under the circumstance that one of them died. Generally speaking, that's not a concern. Why is that a concern in that particular scenario? All right, Tosfos was bothered by that question. Anyway, but that's another concern over there. But over here, look. Over here, it's a complicated case, but every puzzle piece fits in its spot. Meaning, in our case over here, you had two men married to two sisters. And again, we don't know which one married who. And they both died. And they're both survived. And in the last case of the Mishnah, they're both survived by two brothers. So, in that circumstance over there, one will do chalitza to one. The other will do chalitza to the other. And now, you can have a scenario in which I'm doing Yibum. Now, when all said and done, right? And one brother will do Yibum from one family, and the other brother from the other family will do Yibum to the other sister. Okay. Now, in our mission over here, if there's a Zika, is that a concern? Is that a consideration? No. In other words, because the two men who died were not brothers. Okay. In our Mishnah, were we mevatel Yibum? No, we weren't mevatel Yibum as well. In other words, because every one of the surviving sisters had their Yibum case, so to say, resolved. Either Chalitza was done to them or Yibum was done to them. When all is said and done, when the day is over, so you have not been mevatel Yibum. So the Mishnah later is not comparable to our Mishnah over here. Okay, now, in that last case of the Mishnah, if they went ahead and they married, which they should not have done, again, with each of the men who were married possibly to one of the sisters, and they died, and each one of them was survived by two surviving brothers, so what do we say in our Mishnah? We said that each, again, the solution is one will do chalitza, the other will do yibum to the two surviving sisters. So the... What if they're Kohanim? So the Gemara says, if they're Kohanim, still same result. Now let's consider, same result. Now, of the two surviving brothers who are now Kohanim, let's think about what just happened over here. One of them will do Chalitza and the other will do Yibum. Now the one who does Yibum, he's doing Yibum to possibly his Yavama, or what's the other possibility? In other words, she's a Chalutza. So now we know the Kohanim are restricted from the Torah to marry a Grusha. We also know that the Kohanim are restricted midrabanan to marry a Chalutza. Chalutza is very similar to a Grusha, so the Chachamim added that to the restricted women that a Kohen cannot marry. So if now we are allowing this to be done as a solution, even if they're Kohanim, the Gemara says, why should that be? My taima, Chalutza derabanan hi. Well, we know the Yisr of Chalutza is a din derabanan, as I just got done explaining. So the Gemara says, and over here, did he marry a chalutza? The answer is maybe. Again, the whole case started with one of the brothers married one of the, I'm sorry, one of the two men, they're not brothers. Of the two men, one of them married one sister, the other married another sister. We don't know which one married which. They both died. And chalitza now is being performed. His brother performed chalitza on this woman. Was that a chalitza? The answer is maybe. We don't know who married whom. So this is now a case of safek chalutza, or to put in easier terms, safek derabanan. So the Gemara says there is safek derabanan, and by safek derabanan we're mekel. The Hatanya, the Gemara says, are you sure that chalutza is a din derabanan krusha ein liela grusha chalutza minayin tamalomer viisha midderabanan? I'm sorry, viisha. So the Gemara darshan from the beginning of Parshas Emor that the Torah restricts a grusha chalutza. Sorry, it's not written in the Torah. Yeah, it's true, it's not written in the Torah. However, we have a drasha. The Gemara says, midrabanan, huvikras machtabamahu. That's not a drasha. It's an asmachta. Meaning, it's a din derabanan, but what the chachamim do, they do this all the time, is they attach their din derabanan to a pasuk. That's called an asmachta. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first part of today's daf. Admittedly, that was difficult. Okay. It's going to get a lot easier for the remainder of today. Okay. So far what we have covered is, the Mishnah from yesterday, The Mishnah talked about a man being Mekadesh one of two sisters. He doesn't know which one he was Mekadesh. Two men being Mekadesh of two sisters. Each one of them doesn't know which one they were Mekadesh. And what happens if, how should they resolve the situation as it stands? What happens if that man dies? What happened if the two men die? What happened if that two men were survived each by one brother? What happens if the two men who died, one survived by one brother, the other by two? And finally, what if of those two men, one was survived by two brothers, the other was survived by two brothers? What do we do under those circumstances? So we just explained all that. And again, why is it here in the second parak? I'm not sure, but we went through various principles of achuz dekukaso, chalutza, safek chalutza. So we did get to go over a couple of basic principles in this very complicated Mishnah. We continue. The next Mishnah over here, it's super short. Mitzvah begadol liyabim. So who now is going to do the mitzvah of Yibam? Let me first go back and let me point out something that we know already, but let's make this really clear. A man dies. He leaves a widow and they don't have children. So now there is a mitzvah of Yibam. Okay? That part's simple. Meaning that's what we've been discussing now for the last 3 weeks. Okay. Now, the mitzvah of Yibam requires of the in this situation, one of the brothers to marry one of the wives, and that's it. So let's say, for example, he had four wives, five wives. Doesn't matter what the number is. So however many wives he had, and he's survived by four brothers, five brothers, it really doesn't matter. The mitzvah of Yibam is only for one of the surviving brothers to marry one of the widows. That's it. Once the Yibam is done between one and one, everybody now just simply walks away. Everybody is now free to go and move on with their lives. Okay, so a simple question, which of the brothers is it going to be? Torah doesn't say. Which of the widows is it going to be? Torah also doesn't say. Okay, so at least for today's daf, what we're going to be discussing is, well, which one of the brothers should it be? Okay, and so the Mishnah tells us, mitzvah begadol liyabim. So here we are now, the Mishnah Chaf Dalid, and the Mishnah says, that's mitzvah begadol, the oldest brother. The oldest brother has the first right of doing this mitzvah, of Yibam or Chalitza. And if he declines, so then we move down. Now from there, when I say move down, second brother, third or oldest brother, in other words, does it go down in order? Not sure. But certainly what the Mishnah is telling us clearly is that the oldest brother is given the first option. V'im kida makatan azacha. Now, let's say a younger brother got really excited, meaning he wants to do the mitzvah of Yibam. Okay? So if he steps in, zacha. So, okay. So he has, so to say, won. Meaning he's married, despite the fact that the Torah gives the option to the oldest. So this option that's given to the oldest is not as strong as, it's not a strong option. It's a recommended option. But it doesn't preclude the opportunity for the younger brothers to go ahead to do the mitzvah of Yibam. Where is all this coming from? Meaning, we know the parsha of Yibam. It's a small parsha tucked away in Parshas Ki Tse. Where is this coming from? Does it say this in the Torah? And the answer is not clearly. We're going to do that right now. Tanu Rabbanan. V'haya b'chor mikan shemitzvah begadol yabeim. So v'haya b'chor. And it will be the firstborn. Now, you look at that pasuk, and I really encourage you to do so. You will see that contextually, what's the pasuk talking about? In other words, after the mitzvah of Yibam is done, then the first child that's born, that's the continuation of the deceased brother. Meaning that's the mitzvah of Yibam. Okay, v'haya b'chor, that firstborn son. What we're going to do over here, what the Gemara is going to do over here, is that it's going to take this phrase and it's going to darshan it. And the b'chor over here is not a reference to the firstborn that's born to the yavam yavama after they do the mitzvah of Yibam, but rather it's talking about in the process of Yibam. In the process of Yibam. So who's going to do it? The Bechor. So what we just did is that we reinterpreted the parsha. We've taken it out of context. So Vaya Bechor, Mikansha Mitzvah Begadol Yabim. Asher Telei Prat Lailanis. Now over here, the couple of other drashas, not relevant to our discussion, but still, it's halacha, obviously. And it's Asher Telei Prat Lailanis. That means to say that if the woman was an eyeless, there's no mitzvah. We've established this already, but now we're just darshaning it from the psukim. Shein yoledes, shein yoledes. Obviously, because she cannot have children, she just simply is not equipped to have children, so therefore there is no mitzvah of Yibum, because the mitzvah of Yibum is goal oriented, and that is to perpetuate the name of the deceased. Yakum Hashem Achiv Lenachala. Yakum Hashem. Yakum Hashem means then that what you're going to do is you're going to name him after his late uncle. So what does that mean? You give him the same name as the uncle? The Brisa says no. What it means is Nachala. It means that he's going to get the inheritance. Now, when I say he, so really what we're talking about is the Yavam. Ata Omer LaNachalo Eino Ela L'Shem. The Gemara says, I don't know. Read the Pasuk. The Pasuk's talking about naming. So the Gemara says, Yosef, Koronoso Yosef, Yochanan, Koronoso Yochanan. So Nemar Kanya Kum Al Shem Achiv Nemar Lahalan Al Shem Achehem Ikaru B'Nachlasam. Ma Shem Hamor Lahalan Nachla Al Shem Hamor Kan LaNachala. So the Gemara has over here, well, let's call it Gzeir Shava. And that is that the word shame in another context by the Bnei Yaakov clearly is talking about in the context of Nachla. Over here by Yibum, shame is also in the context of Nachla. V'lo yimacheshmo, pra'al esrish eshmo machui. And as far as lo yimacheshmo, we're excluding a sris if the man, if the Yavam was a sris, in other words, unable to impregnate her, so then there is also not going to be a mitzvah of Yibum, because shmo machui. The Gemara, Amar Rava, Adkan. That takes us to the end of the Brisa. And so, what comes out now in the Brisa is that we have a drasha. So, and the drasha is V'haya Bechor Asher Teleid. And from the word Bechor, so the Gemara's understanding is that the Brisa's understanding is that this word Bechor is not a reference to the firstborn child, but rather to the brothers. And of the brothers, the Bechor is going to do the mitzvah. Amrava Avagav de Bechol Torah Kulei Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto. So you know, generally speaking, Mikra Ein Yotzei Midei Pshuto, meaning we don't detract from the simple reading of the Chumash. The Chumash has a way it's to be read in its simplest understanding that is called Pshat. And normally, when there's Pshat in the Pesukim, we do not move away from Pshat. Hacha Asak Zereshava Afikte Mi Pashte Legamre. But over here, we've just absolutely removed the simple interpretation of the pasuk in favor of the drasha. The word bechor over here is not a reference to the firstborn that is born to the yavam yavama, but rather it's a reference to which of the brothers are going to be doing the mitzvah of yibum. Ve'ilav gzereshava havamina shem shem mamish. Otherwise, we would have said that shem is a reference to shem mamish. Leman kamazar rachman liyavam. So the Gemara says now. Who's the Torah addressing over here? So is the Torah addressing Yavam Yakum Hashem Achicha mi ba'elei? Grammatically, the Torah should say that it's your brother if in fact we're addressing the Yavam. So Ila Beidina Yakum Hashem Achi Aviv mi ba'elei. And if we're talking about Beis Din, so the way that the Torah should be phrased is that he should be set up Hashem Achi Aviv, his uncle. So Vidilma Hachi Kamerlu Rachmana La Beis Din. The Gemara says no. The pasuk is telling Beis Din the following: Beis Din, here's what you're going to be telling him, the Yavam. Amrule, you Beis Din say to him, Liyavam Yakum Hashem Achiv. So that you should perpetuate the name of your brother. So Elas Exer Shava Fikta Lagamre. Good. So that would have been the case had we not had the drasha. But now we have the drasha, and the drasha removes the simple pshat of the pasuk altogether. Okay. So where are we right now? In the Gemara, the point of where we're at is that we had a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that the mitzvah is begadol. We know gadol means bechor. And then the Gemara goes on to describe how we know this is based on a brisa. And the brisa tells us that even though the simple pshat of the pasuk, vaya bechor, is a reference to the son that is born to the Yavam Yavama, who's going to perpetuate the name of his uncle, that's a simple pshat. We're not going with the simple pshat. In other words, this is one of those rare instances where we are oker, we uproot the simple pshat, the simple reading of the Torah. Okay, off the top of my head, just thinking out loud, where else does this happen? So probably the best example in terms of a textbook example is ayin tachas ayin, right? The Torah says is that someone pokes out your eye, so you poke out his eye, right? So there, no, that's not the pshat in the pasuk at all. Meaning there, we are going to take away from the simple pshat of the pasuk, eighth parak of Baba Kama, ayin tachas ayin, that's mamon. In other words, you pay the person, and we don't operate with the simple reading of the pasuk. Okay, couple of other examples I could think of right now, but that's probably the best textbook example of where we don't go with the simple interpretation of the Torah. It begs a question, which I'm not going to address right now. So why does the Torah write it in such a manner? Meaning, if the Torah is not electing us, the reader, to read it in the simple pshat, so then why write it that way? Why write Ayin Tachas Ayin? Over here, if we're not talking about the Bechor as being the firstborn to the Yavam Yavamah, we're talking about which of the Yavamim should do it. So why did the Torah write in such a manner? Okay, that's a really good question, right? Just we're going to go on in the Gemara. So the so Hashda Sekzer Shava Fikta Legamre Hashda Damar Krabi Gadol Ksiv Amor Ema. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what I know. I know that we are with the drasha. We know that the Torah favors the Gadol. So, but what did we just learn together? We learned that the Torah only favors the Gadol, meaning that the Gadol is encouraged to do it. He is given the first option, but not to the exclusion of all the other brothers. In fact, what we learned in our Mishnah is that if any one of the other brothers does the mitzvah of Yibam, so then, okay, it works. So, question, which is going to occupy now the next, let's say, 10 minutes, and that is, Hashda Damar Krah Begadol Ksiv, Ema Bechor L'Yabam Pasha Lo L'Yabam. So I don't know. Maybe what the Torah is trying to teach us is that the Bechor, and only the Bechor has the option of doing the mitzvah of Yibam, and not any of the other brothers. Okay. And why isn't that a consideration? Im kein eshes achiv shel hayah b'lama d'mi rechman alama li. So the Gemara says it can't be an option. Because remember earlier in the Masechta, one of the examples where there's no Yibam is eshes achiv shel hayah b'lama. What happened? A man was married to a woman. He dies. A brother is born subsequently. By definition, that brother is not the oldest. In other words, there was one that was older than him. And yet the Torah has to go out of his way and tell us, you can't do Yibam. Why? Because you and your brother did not coexist in this world. Wait 1 second. If the halacha was that only the Bechor has the option of doing Yibam, so I don't need an exclusion for this young man. This young man already is not the firstborn. Oh, so already we know that the mitzvah of Yibam is for all the brothers. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the exclusion over here is for the firstborn mother, firstborn from the mother, not the father. So the Gemara says, "Hayi lo matzah tamar." The Gemara says, that's not even open for a suggestion. Because Yibam is a function of Nachla. And Nachla only comes through the father, not through the mother. So the Gemara says, okay, but let me press a little bit more. And the Gemara is going to press for the next couple minutes. And that is, well, maybe the following. Maybe if there's a firstborn who has survived, so maybe then there's a mitzvah of Yibam. And again, who does a mitzvah of Yibam? Could be the oldest, it could be the next one down. But maybe if there's no Bechor, maybe there just simply is no mitzvah of Yibam. Maybe. Amakra umeis echad mehem. So milo askin and demes Bechor v'amarachman liyabem katan. So the Gemara says no, because the Torah is not clear about who died, meaning the Torah simply says one of the brothers died. It could easily have been the oldest brother was married and he died. And yet the Torah says there's a mitzvah of Yibam. So ve'ema demes katan v'amarachman liyabem Bechor. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the katan died. And maybe under those circumstances, the Bechor is going to do Yibam. The Gemara says no, because once again, we have an exclusion for Eishas Achiv Shalaya Ba'olamo, which means that clearly the Torah is operating with a scenario in which the oldest died, survived by a younger brother, and he has a mitzvah of Yibam. But in the case where they didn't coexist in this world, so then there's an exclusion. But the exclusion obviously means that by default, there was a mitzvah of Yibam. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe the following. So maybe when there's a Bechor, so then the cotton simply does not have an option. And when there's no Bechor, the cotton does in fact have an option. So the Gemara says, no, all the brothers are mukash, they're all connected one to the other. Meaning each one of them has a right and eligibility to do the mitzvah of Yibam like the other. So we are right now a little bit confused. Meaning, we've taken the pasuk, we've taken the simple pshat of the pasuk, totally removed the simple pshat. We're now saying that there's something that has to do with the Bechor, and the Gemara is knocking its head. What are we saying about the Bechor? Are we saying that there's only a mitzvah when there's a surviving oldest brother? No. Are we saying that there is a that when there's an oldest brother, the other brothers simply are ineligible to do the mitzvah of Yibum? Also, we're saying no to that. So then what is the Torah now highlighting by Bechor? That's what the Gemara is trying to figure out. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Torah is telling us the following. That when there's a surviving Bechor brother, so then you go to him first. And if there's no surviving Bechor brother, meaning it was a Bechor brother who died, so then you go after any one of the brothers. Meanwhile, the Braisa of Abaye Kashisha tells us that the mitzvah is with the oldest brother. If he doesn't want it, we go to the younger brothers. If they don't want it, we go back to the oldest brothers. And so, ki bechor, ma bechor, bechor so garmalo, av gadol, gedula so garmalo. So the Gemara says it's just like a bechor, meaning by a bechor, his eldest position is what caused him for you go to him first. And the same thing is going to be true regarding an older brother. Okay, but what comes out over here is as follows, is that to the suggestion of the, that when there's a Bechor, you go after the oldest, but when there's no Bechor, then we don't go after the oldest. But again, that's simply not true. Ve'ema, ki mi'ab ben Bechor lishkol nachla, ki mi'ab ben pashalo lishkol nachla. The Gemara is still trying. Maybe when there's a Bechor, so he's going to receive the nachla of his late brother. And where there's no Bechor, maybe they'll do the mitzvah of Yibam, but without the nachla. The Gemara says, no, Amakar Yakum, Ashem Achiv, Varekam. The Gemara says, no, whoever does Yibum is going to get the Nachla. We know that's so. So, Ve'ela Bechor Dekai Rechmana Lamai Hilchasa. So, after a long struggle, finally, and we're now in the top of the Amud Beis, a simple question with an answer. And that is, why then is the Torah focusing on the Bechor? Meaning, it's true that we will give him the first option to the mitzvah of Yibam, but it's not to the exclusion of the brothers. Any one of the other brothers can do the mitzvah of Yibam, even when there's a Bechor. So why is the Torah focusing on the Bechor? It's a simple question. So Ligreyusa, so the Gemara says, actually, the halacha Bechor in the context of Yibam is not there to help the Bechor, but actually, it comes to diminish and detract. Specifically what? Okay, so let's learn together a little halacha regarding Yerusha's Bechor. What do we know regarding the Bechor? He gets Pishnaim, he gets two times whatever all the other brothers get. Okay, and it says, as far as the formula is concerned, it's very simple. In other words, the oldest brother is going to get 2x of whatever x is to the other brothers. Okay, and if there are more than one other brothers, so take the entire estate, right, add up all the x's, and add to that the oldest brother's 2x, add that all together, and now you'll get the proper allocation of the estate to all the brothers with the Bechor getting two times what the other brothers are getting. So far, so good. That's Pishnayim. But a halacha that we go over a number of times throughout Chas, which the Gemara is referring to over here, and that is the following. When it comes to Pishnayim, so there is a little bit of an accounting issue, and that is that you look at the estate in its current holdings. The estate has account receivables. Okay, that's excellent. And every one of the shareholders, every one of the Yorshim, are going to be entitled to a portion of the account receivable, right? However, for Pishnayim purposes, you only look at current holdings. There is no account receivables that are taken into account for the Pishnayim. Okay, a little bit complicated, but you get an accountant in, and you figure out what are the current holdings. For that portion of the estate, that's where the Bechor gets Pishnayim. Either count of receivables, that doesn't factor into the Pishnayim for the Bechor. Now what we're saying is that we're going to take that halacha, and now we're going to move it over to the Bechor. When the Torah says that the Yavam now is going to have Bechor status, so what does that mean? So the Gemara racked its head in terms of what that means. Then the Gemara ends up saying, oh, you know what it means? It means, yes, he's going to get the Yerusha of the late brother, but only like a Bechor. Current holdings, not account receivables. Okay, fine. Hanitan ala shivcha v'nishtachara all avodas kocham v'nizgayra rezelo yichnos. Okay. This Mishnah over here, as much as I was a little bit confused about the two Mishnahs ago, what's it doing over here? It's fair to say that this Mishnah, what is this Mishnah doing over here? Really unclear. Meaning we're towards the end of the second parak of Yevamos, and I guess there is no perfect place to put this Mishnah over here. Not sure. Not sure what the Mishnah is doing over here, but nevertheless, it's a Mishnah. And so let's learn it, and let's go through a little bit of the Gemara this morning. So somebody who has a bad reputation with a Shifcha, meaning rumors are abounding that this man is sleeping with this particular Shifcha. Now, as far as rumors are concerned, so let's try to be clear. In other words, you should not be one fanning the flames of rumors. It's called Lashon Hara. But nevertheless, however, as much as there is an issue of Lashon Hara, and we shouldn't speak it, and we should not speak about other people, okay, I'm not sure if I could be any clearer about that, but nevertheless, the rumors are things that also you just simply can't ignore, meaning people are talking. So, the Hanitan al Shevcha, V'nishtachra, so let's say a man is alleged to have relations with a Shevcha, okay, who's prohibited from having relations with, obviously. He can't marry a Shevcha. And now she was emancipated. So, or rumors abound that he was sleeping with a non-Jewish woman, and then she converts. So he's not allowed to marry them because their release / conversion was done for the purposes of marriage. And correct. And it reinforces the rumors that rumors are probably true. Now, they do get married, so you do not sever the marriage. Okay, but here's where the Mishnah says, here's where we're going to draw the line. If a man is rumored or alleged to be sleeping with a married woman, and the married woman then gets a divorce from her husband, she may not marry this man. Now, to call him a no-waif, an adulterer, so there weren't Aiden per se. In other words, it was rumors. But over here, certainly now, this will clearly substantiate the rumors. And so the marriage is disallowed. In fact, if they get married, Basin's going to step in, and Basin's going to separate the two of them. Rashi in the Mishnah writes, Yotzi, demidar reis asur inam labawa. Because we know the halach is that if a man has, if a woman has an adulterous relationship with another man, so the halach is, asur labawa. She's prohibited to her husband, she's prohibited to the man that she had an adulterous affair with. Now, with her husband, so the marriage in of itself doesn't terminate just because she committed adultery. In other words, she needs a get from her husband. But before the get, she now becomes prohibited to her husband. She also becomes prohibited to the Bala as well. It's a drasha. Rashi quotes a drasha based on the Gemara and Sota. As you can imagine, that's exactly where the source material is. It sounds a little bit better that this Mishnah should rather be in the Masecht of Sota than over here in Yevamos. Again, not sure what it's doing here. Alan, go ahead. Right, rumors. It's not an accusation. It's rumors. Okay, fine. So the Hagyor is Mia Havya. So the Gemara first is going to get stuck on the first point of the Mishnah. The first point of the Mishnah is that the conversion is good, right? A subsequent question in the Mishnah in terms of whether or not she can then marry the man who people have rumored that she was with already for some time. But the conversion's good. The Gemara says, really, the conversion's good. V'riminu. Echad ish nizgar l'shem ish, v'echad ish ish nizgar l'shem ish, v'chem ish nizgar l'shem shocham alachim l'shem avdei shlomo. Einam gerim divrei b'nechemia. Reb Nechemia says that conversion for ulterior motives is not a conversion. If you are converting to marry somebody, if you're converting because the Jewish people right now are doing really well, like during the time period of Shlomo HaMelech, whatever. For whatever ulterior motive you're converting, the conversion is not a conversion. So Rabbi Nechemia says that you have to, in order for the conversion to be good, there cannot be ulterior motives. You know, during the times of Mordechai and Esther, it was very good for the Jews. Now it happens to be it's so interesting. The pasuk in the Megillah, right, is that many of the non-Jews were misyahadim. There were many converts. And Rabbi Nechemia knows the pasuk in the Megillah, right? So what does he do with that pasuk? He'll tell you. I'm assuming. The Gemara doesn't address this. But I'm assuming what he'll tell you is that, they're trying to convert. They wanted to convert. Okay, whatever, it's hard. Anyway, the only way it works is if they convert bizman hazeh, nowadays. The Gemara says, what that last statement of Rabbi Nechemia, what do you mean by that? Bizman hazeh, sagadacha, ela, no, it has to mean like these days. I mean, at the time of the writing of the Gemara, so it was not the greatest for the Jews. It was hard. The living in Bavel under persecution, a number of times the Gemara tells us that the kind of persecution that they had in the time period of Bavel. So in other words, if somebody at that point in time historically comes over and says, I want to be Jewish, so now, as long as you can take ulterior motives out and the time period is that it's not the best for the Jews, good. So then it's good conversion. But if it's clear, however, the conversion is because they want to benefit, they want to financially benefit, or they want to benefit in terms of a woman, if that's in fact the circumstance, so then the conversion is not good according to Rabbi Nechemiah. So ha'it marlam Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta mishmei derav halachi yedivrei omer kulam geirim heim. So the Gemara says, okay, so what are you going to do with our Mishnah? So what the Gemara says very simply, I'll tell you what we'll do with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah doesn't agree with Rabbi Nechemiah. Our Mishnah is of the opinion that they are in fact geirim. So hi'achi lechatchila nami. So the Gemara says, okay, so we should allow it lechatchila. So mishum deravasi dam ravasi hasir mimcha akshus pev alazus sefasayim. So the Gemara says the reason why we will not allow the marriage lechatchila is then because you become the subject of rumors. And what you should do as a general rule in life is avoid being the subject of rumors. The pasuk in Mishle hasir mimcha akshus pev alazus sefasayim, that you should remove yourself from being the talk of the town. Meaning you should not be the subject of rumors within the town. And so if there is a behavior which on the books is acceptable, was the conversion good? Yes. Is the marriage acceptable? Yes. So then why does the Mishnah say that lechatchila you shouldn't marry her? Because the Mishnah is subscribing to this pasuk in Mishlei, which says that, well then because you're going to be fodder for conversation. Again, by the way, I'm hopefully doing a good job this morning balancing that you should not be talking about other people. Okay, given. Then, at the same time, you should not be the source material for the discussion of other people. Okay, fine. Tanu Rabbanan Eim Kamen Gerim Liyam Osa Mashiach Kayotzebo Ein Kayotzebo Lo Kiblo Gerim Lo Bimei David Lo Bimei Shlomo. The Gemara quotes the Braisa, as long as we're on this topic of converting for ulterior motives. So the Braisa says that we do not accept Gerim Liyam Osa Mashiach in the times of Mashiach. Similarly, they did not accept Gerim, not during the time period of David or Shlomo. I'm Rabbi Lazar Maikra, Hein Gor Yagur, Efes Meoti. So, Mi Ger Itcha Alacha Yipol. Pasuk in Yishayahu describes that when it's Efes, when it's nothing, meaning there's no good reason to convert, then we accept converts. But if there's a good reason to convert, meaning it's really good, it's advantageous financially to convert, so then we do not accept Gerim. Shlomo's wives did convert. The Rambam is bothered by your very question. The Rambam is in Isurei Bia. I could try to impress by saying the Perek. I forgot which Perek. Okay. The Rambam asked your very question in Isurei Bia, in the teens, somewhere in the teens in that section. The Rambam's answer, I'll just share with you quickly right now. So the Rambam's answer is that people converted during the times of Shlomo HaMelech, but they did so, with basically rogue Beisdins. Your question's still better because, not better than the Rambam's answer, but Shlomo converted these women. Okay, your question's good. Okay, so Aval Idachla. So the okay, fine. Hanitan, we'll stop over here. Okay, this is a good place to stop. Okay, so we're at the two dots on Chavdal Med Beis. Let's recap. Let's review. Number one, three subjects that we covered this morning. Number one, we finished off the Mishnah from yesterday's daf. A man being Mekadesh, one of two sisters, not knowing which one was Mekadesh. Two men being Mekadesh, two sisters, each one of them not knowing which one they were Mekadesh. And the fallout. And so what we went through in the Mishnah and the Gemara between yesterday and today is we talked about the fallout. What do you do? What's the solution? How to resolve it? What happens if that man dies? What happens if those two men die? What if he survived by one brother? What if he survived by two brothers? Okay. A complicated opening for today's daf. Next. Second subject that we discussed is that there's a Bechor quality to Yibum. The Bechor quality to Yibum says that we offer the Bechor the first opportunity, but not to the exclusion of the other brothers. Okay, so when all said and done, each one of the brothers can do the mitzvah of Yibum. We'll ask the Bechor to do it first, but anyone can do it, and kolakodim zacha. So then, what exactly is the Bechor quality of this mitzvah of Yibum? That's where the Gemara struggled for a good part of Chavdal Amid Aleph, with the concluding answer that ligreyusa, actually, it's not to the it's to the detriment, and that is that as far as the bechor getting the nachla of his deceased brother, he gets all of it, but only current holdings. and not an account receivable. And then finally, we started the Mishnah on the Amud Beis. The Mishnah talked about a man having rumors and allegations that he is that he's sleeping with a woman that he should not be sleeping with, either a shevcha or a vedes kochavim or another married woman. So then, post emancipation, post conversion, post divorce. So is he allowed to marry such a woman? The answer to all three is no. However, there's a difference for emancipation and for conversion. So b'di'evad, if he marries her, the chachamim are not going to step in. For a married woman that he was alleged to have relations with, and then she divorces, so there he may not marry her, and there the chachamim will step in. Okay, and the Gemara talked about the litigated the conversion itself. The conversion itself is good, according to Reb Nechemia. Even the conversion itself is not good, but the Gemara says our Mishnah is not following the sheet of Reb Nechemia.